Okay, so we're picking up with the first Tosos on a little intimate group over here. On Lamed Tes Amud Aleph, it's the first Tosos on the Amud. We've been dealing with for the past couple of days the issue of Overlas Yasan and most recently the issue of negative Das. So now we're picking up with, I would say, a somewhat related issue, something of a curiosity of sorts. It's the first Tosos on Lamed Tes Amud Aleph, Dibra Maschil Aval. Aval Lefonov, Mitzvah Levarech. Now they got the thumbs up on the brochure. Now I know I can go.
Check it out online.
I did. Yeah, I don't think that's the finished version.
You see my coat.
I made sure you protect you guys.
Wait, my coat's there.
Protect my boys.
Oh, okay. So, thank you. I didn't even assume.
So, again, the Gemara was discussing what is the reference in the Mishnah to a place where the minig is to make a bracha. So the Gemara said, "Oh, we're only talking about the bracha after, because the bracha before is not subject to minog, that's halacha. Of course you have to make a bracha on a mitzvah. We have the well-established principle that brachos are made prior to the performance of mitzvah." So that was the extensive discussion that we had in Tosos Dibra Maschil Over Las Yasan regarding the different suggestions as to how to have a bracha over Las Yasan when it comes to Netilas Lulav. So take a look at the top Tosos, Avalafon of Mitzvah Levarech. Avalafon of Mitzvah Levarech. So we're just going to use this Tosos really as a springboard to get to the Tosos in Nida, which deals with the bracha Lishmar Chukov more extensively. So anyone like to read?
What exactly is the bracha Lishmar Chukov?
Well, you'll see. It's mentioned out in the Gemara. Got Avi, you want to take it away? It's a short Tosos.
Avol Lifnav Mitzvah Levarech.
Lefanav, right. Lefanav Mitzvah Levarech.
Ki hai gav davne amrinan gibe.
Gabe mila, good.
Gabe mila, Megillah. Megillah, hey, hakore, es ha Megillah, omen.
Right, we say the same thing regarding the mitzvah of Megillah, and you want to just text him and tell him what we're doing? With regard to the mitzvah of Megillah, and V'chein Tanan Perek Ba'asim, and in Nida, say similar thing. Yesha Tal and Bracha Lefanov. There are those mitzvahs. We'll see that mission in a moment. V'chein Tal and Bracha Lecharav. It's also just pointing out that this similar discussion is had both in Maseches Megillah and in Maseches Nida. That is the idea that brachos generally precede a mitzvah, don't necessarily follow mitzvah. In some cases, they do follow mitzvah. Any case it does follow mitzvah, it also must precede a mitzvah. That's all. But the given is that there's a bracha that comes before. Reichani. What's reichani?
The smell.
The smell from the word reyach. So we'll see in a moment that the Mishnah says that there are some cases where a bracha will precede, but a bracha won't come after. And the Gemara says, oh, that the reference in the Mishnah was to those things upon which you make brachos of reyach. What are the brachos of reyach? So there are a number. There are a number of brachos. It bears mentioning because I think some of them are not as widely known as others. We're most familiar with the bracha of borei minei b'samim. We make every Motzai Shabbos. Truth be told, however, there are more specific brachos that are made on fragrant grasses. Borei is bei b'samim. Bracha that's made on fragrant trees. Borei atzei b'samim. And then there's the bracha that's made on fruit. If you smell a fruit, smell a fruit before eating it or maybe while eating it, but you intentionally smell the fruit to enjoy its fragrant aroma, the bracha to be made there is hanosein reyach tov b'peiros. Hanosim Rechto B'Peros. I think it's Hanosim Rechto B'Peros. Okay. But yet, after doing that, there's no bracha after. There's no end bracha. You make a berachas hananin before you eat something, there's a bracha that comes after. Right? If you have a shear, you make a bracha after. you have enough pas, you make hamotzi, and you make berakas hamazon. If you have enough mezonos, you make main shalosh, mezonos before. If you have other things, so you'll make the right bracha, and then you'll make a barnefashos. When it comes to the berakas areich, there's no bracha after. Okay? So have a matzil meimar lasuye. It could have given other examples. Have a matzil meimar. Why does it say halal? I'm thinking, why does that Gemara say Rechani? Why doesn't it give other examples? Yeah, well, go ahead. You're reading.
Have a matzil meimar lasuye
halal. Halal umegillah. Alehen. Shalom Levarach Alehen. Achrayim, sorry. In our Gemara, we saw, in our Mishnah really, take a look at the Mishnah for a moment. Turn back to the Mishnah on Lamed Ches Amud Aleph. The Mishnah on Lamed Ches Amud Aleph, 38a. So the Mishnah says, the second Mishnah, Misha Ye'eved O Isha O Katan Makrin Oso, On Achrayim Masha'in Omrin. If you have to put up as a chazan or as a leader someone who is not a bar chiyuva, so basically you're going to have to repeat everything that they say. You can't just be yotze with their recitation. As Rashi says, normally kacha yunogin echad kores ahalo motzias harabim. Normally you'd have one person get up, say the halal, and everyone would listen and be yotze through the mechanism of shomei kohanim. Right? There'd be some type of... Is that okay?
Yep.
So there would be some type of group halal that was said by the leader. What's the matter?
It's getting hot.
It's getting hot?
Mm-hmm.
Why is it getting hot?
It's always nice to have it. So that, exactly, the book, but can you put a Hebrew book under it?
No, not a good one.
Getting back to the Mishnah. So then the Mishnah says, okay, if you have such a person, then you have to repeat after what he says, because it's you can't use his recitation to be yotze others. Imaya gadol makre also on the acharav haluka. Makom shenagul lichpol yichpol, in a place where they would repeat certain phrases, you repeat. Lifshel yifshel, in places where they didn't repeat, you wouldn't repeat. Levarich yevarich, in places where they make the benediction, you make the benediction. Make the bracha. Says the Mishnah rule of thumb hakol kaminag hamedina. So the Gemara said, okay, what kind of business is this? That there's a minute to make the bracha. Oh, that must be the bracha that comes after certain things. But a bracha that comes before certain things, that's not subject to minhag. Every mitzvah has a bracha before it. Or most mitzvahs have a bracha before it. That's not a rule of minhag. That's a rule of birkas hamitzvah. So back at Lamed Tes, now the Tosfos is saying, well, how come our Gemara is so convinced that we're talking about the bracha that comes after Hallel, or sorry, the bracha really, it's also saying the Gemara in Nida. How come the Gemara in Nida is so sure that we're talking about the case of what? Of Reichani, meaning a case where you have a bracha before but not a bracha after. Oh, it could have said, what? How about a place where they make a bracha on Hallel before but not a bracha after? Or how about saying a place where they make the bracha on Mikra Megillah but not the bracha after? Those are subject to Minhagim. Gemara could have given that answer. So that's what Tosfos says. Have a motzi lameimar lasuye halel u'megillah b'makom shenagu. The Gemara could have easily said on Nun Aleph Amud Beis and Nida that the subject of the Mishnah was cases like halel and megillah in places where they don't make the end bracha, but it didn't. Instead, it said reichani. Okay, ela reichani psikale. Right? But it gave the example of reichani. Fine. Keep going. Avi, you doing a great job?
Oh, yeah. Afrian, right? Ella.
Ukmokain. Ella Rechani Psikale. I have a Motzila Meimar Lasuye Halel. Could have said that. But instead it said Rechani. Ukmokain. Have a Motzila Meimar. Mitzvah Stuva. Could have given a whole litany of mitzvahs. Right? Not every mitzvah has a bracha before and after. Almost all mitzvahs only have a bracha before. So it could have said, okay, tzitzis, shofar, sukkah, lulav, right?
Kigon,
tzitzis, shofar, sukkah, lulav.
Lamai,
the Pesha Ben Atam, Dei Mevorcha, Mishmachukav, Ela Atzvon. L'chudayu. The dafka kishem misalken misham laila. Kamandam laila lavs mantvonu. Tosfos just saying that the Gemara is not an exhaustive list. Reichani is not the only exception to that rule, or not the only example of that rule. And so too, with regard to mitzvos, there were other mitzvos that could have been mentioned as reflections of that rule. Why? Because Rabbi Tam said that the only mitzvah that has a bracha at its culmination is what? Is tefillin. What's the mitzvah on tefillin? What's the bracha on tefillin? L'shmar chukav. When do you say that according to Rabbi Tam? Davka k'smesalka misham laila. So not only is it unique to tefillin, but it's only said in a certain case. You only make this bracha when you take off your tefillin, when you take them off immediately prior to laila. And only according to those shittas that say you can't wear tefillin at night. All right?
Would that be, is he only limiting it to davka when you take it off at shkiyot?
Yes.
What
yes.
about because you are being shomer that.
So let's see. That's what the Gemara...
What is Tosfos was saying?
This Tosfos over here?
Yeah.
What Tosfos is basically saying is like this. There are three cases that the Gemara could have basically shied away from and given anything else. The Gemara could have said, oh, we're talking about a place where the minig is not to say bracha after halal. Or we're talking about a place where the minig is not to say bracha after Megillah. Or we're talking about a place where they're not taking off their tefillin before Shkia and it's not Marava. Then every other mitzvah basically doesn't have a bracha afterwards. They have a bracha before, but not a bracha after. Birkas Hamazon is after. That's a bracha that the Torah mandates to be said after you've eaten. So you have bracha before eating and you have bracha after eating. Right? Here we're talking more about a mitzvah. And even the Gemara. Let's see the Mishnah. When we see the Mishnah, I think this will become a little more clear. Let me take your question first, Zach. You have a question? Good.
But why is it limited to just eating? What is it about the experience of eating that makes you have bracha?
Good question. So let's take a look at the Mishnah. Rashi on the Mishnah answers that question. Okay? So if you have a Maseches Nida handy.
I don't actually. Am I wrong?
Okay. Maybe you could look at it online, Hebrew books.
Yeah, really have daily. What dog?
Nun Aleph Amud Beis. Okay, so let's take a look at the Mishnah in the Nun Aleph and Beis. And I think as we see this, it'll become a little more clear what Tosfos is getting at here. And certainly this Tosfos is something that we want to pay some close attention to. You have a volunteer to read this Mishnah?
I couldn't find another Gemara.
You couldn't find it? We had three on this table. There's one right there, if anyone wants to look at it. There's another one, I think, in that stack. But anyone that has one would like to read?
When I get there, I'll definitely read it. Are you from Seattle?
Okay. That's the best we could do over here on the East Coast. I don't know. It's not like that. Mishnah, who's reading? Chosin, you want to read a little bit? Yeah. You're going to see. It's going to become very clear in 1 second. It's going to become patently obvious. Go ahead.
Mishnah?
Yeah.
Which one, middle or...
The Mishnah, the Mishnah at the bottom of the Yaman, I'm sorry. The Mishnah at the bottom of the Yaman. So as a general rule, the Mishnah says... If there's a bracha after, there's definitely a bracha before. If there is a bracha after, there's definitely a bracha before. Okay, good. But... But not everything has a bracha before has a bracha after. Okay, good. So what does the Gemara say? Lasuye mai?
Lasuye yarek.
Yarek. Meaning yarek would be bar pi adama, and that's it. But the Gemara says, 1 second, not everyone agrees with that. Right, so if you hold that Yerek gets a bracha achrona, so what are we talking about? Oh, so we're talking about water. Water? You don't make a bracha after water? What about the sheet as a whole? You do make a bracha after water. Slow. So lasuye mitzvos. Oh, so if it's not vegetables and it's not water, because we have shitos that say those things do have brachos after them, then what are we left with? Oh, it must be mitzvos. The mitzvos have brachos before, but don't have mitzvos. They don't have brachos after. So far, so good. This is a Mishnah. Okay. So what about the Bnei Marava who were noheg to make a bracha at the culmination of mitzvahs tefillin? You know, as they would say the appropriate benediction prior to engaging in the mitzvah. And then they would also make this special bracha after the mitzvah. What about them?
Yeah.
So we're left with Reichani. Now what Tosos pointed out on our Amud is it didn't have to be only Reichani. There were other things. It chose Reichani. Reichani psikolei. Could have been this, could have been that. Reichani is an example. What's Zach's question is why Reichani? Why is Reichani... Sorry?
What else could it have been?
No, that was the second thing. What else it said? In the first few lines of Tosos, what did he say?
Megillah.
Yeah, it could have been Megillah in a place where they don't...
They're already not the mitzvah, no? They're trying to get rid of the mitzvah.
Yeah, but no. So he says, what about in a place where they make brachas on the mitzvah of
Tzol? It's not like the category of mitzvahs once you enter that question with Mark. So it wasn't going to go back to Sukkah and Lulav.
Because it's not true. Because there's still exceptions to that rule.
Right, so it went to something that wasn't even a mitzvah. It went to Refan.
Oh, okay, you're answering up that question. Why? What?
It just seemed like it, yeah.
Okay. But he's asking a different question. Why is it? Zach's question is, why is it that Reichani doesn't get a bracha after?
Oh, why?
When you contrast.
Yeah.
When you contrast it with eating food, there's no satisfaction.
Could you speak a little louder? I think you can hear.
There's no. One doesn't get any satisfaction after smelling the substance, unlike food where you are now satiated.
So that's a very good point. I think that might be what Rashi's saying. Take a look at Rashi. Rashi is for the top of Nun Beis Amud Aleph. Rashi says Reichani. Why, in fact, does Reichani not have a bracha after? Shahakol gets a bernefashas. Mizonos gets, in most cases, Alam Michya, except for one. One that comes to mind. When is Mizonos followed by bernefashas and not Alam Michya? Rice. Right? You could eat as much rice as you want. You could be a sumo wrestler. You could pack in the rice. You're still only going to make a bernefashas. Never going to be Alam Michya, even though it's Mizonos. It's, you know, usually people associate Mizonos means Alam Michya. Not true. Rice is unique. Rice is an exception to that rule. Okay? Why is rice not really one? Right? If a guy eats through a whole bag of pretzels, could be also, he has to bench now. He has enough of it.
So the whole pizza thing, does everyone agree it matters if you're Kaviyasud or not? Or...
Some say it doesn't matter if you're Kaveh Sudan or not. Some say it's pas.
So some people would say if you just have a bite or whatever the minimum requirement.
No, well, hamotzi would always be required. The question is whether you have to bench. That might be the question of how much you add. But there are different opinions. There's no one opinion on pizza. The question is it pas v'kisnin or is it real pas? I mean, some say it's no different than grilled cheese. No one's saying that grilled cheese is pas v'kisnin. So it has to do also with the way they make the pizza. Pizza made together, is it more like a pocket, or is it more that there's bread together with other substances?
So calzone
this is a whole different level now. Yeah?
Calzone would be pot.
Calzone?
Yeah, calzone.
Reichani here? So back to Zach's question, Reichani. Why is it that all these other things have a bracha achrona, but Reichani doesn't? So Yona intuitively said that because there's a difference between the hana that you get from Reya and the hana you get from an ochel. What's the difference? A hana of an ochel is not limited to the time that you ingest the ochel. The benefit, the hana, continues. You're sated for some period of time. The bracha, in fact, you see that reflected in the halacha. The person didn't bench. So technically, it's okay, as long as you're still sated, you can make the bracha. And we assume there's a certain outer limit for that, right? We assume that shear is what's called shear equal, 72 minutes after you finished eating. You're still sated from the food, from the eating, and therefore you can continue to bench. And the same thing would be true. Okay. I don't know how long it takes to walk. I know it was about an hour on the bus.
I thought they released the measurement of the amount of time it would take to walk from.
I don't remember.
Or the
yeah. I think it would be a lot more than 72 minutes.
Yeah. Depends
who you are.
To walk.
I know some fast walkers.
Okay. An hour 50 minutes might be 50 minutes on the bus. It's been a long time. Mm-hmm. It's the 4:38 if you ever want to try it out.
Well, the 4:38. You're taking the crazy road.
Right. Okay. So Rashi says, "Mevarchen alehen borei atzei b'samim, ve'ein tone bracha l'acharav." Why? The hana mu'etasi. It's a small hana, and I think that's what Rashi means when he says hana mu'etas. Don't just mean it's like it's insignificant hana. It's a different, qualitatively different than a hana that's everlasting, or that's at least more prolonged, right? That's what I think he means by hana mu'etas. It's only that moment that you enjoy it, right? You smell the fruit, and that's it. You don't continue to enjoy it all day. You don't continue to enjoy it for 72 minutes. Its effect is lost, right? You rub it maybe on your skin, then you can continue to smell it, but that's where you continue to get that hana, right? Zach, did I answer your question?
Yes.
Okay, so let's take a look at this Tosos now. Let's take a look at this Tosos at the bottom of Nun Aleph Amud Beis. Another volunteer to read? Avi Hirschman? Okay, go ahead. I saw you jumping at the opportunity.
Of course.
L'vnei Marava. Tosos L'vnei Marava.
L'vnei Marava. De mevarche ki misalkin tevlai lishmor chukah.
Right. So, what about those bnei marava who were knowing to make the bracha when they would remove tefilaihu, their tefillin?
Omer Rabbeinu Tam, de al tefillin levad,
havu mevarche lishmor chukah.
Havu.
Right. They would only make this bracha at the end of this mitzvah. They wouldn't make this bracha at the end of other mitzvahs. It was unique to tefillin.
Dekra, de ushmart ushmaret et hachuka hazos.
Ushmarta es a chuka hazos lemoada.
Lemoada.
Now that pasuk is not speaking openly about tefillin, right? That pasuk is not speaking openly about tefillin. It's said in the context of Pesach.
Just referring to the shmira that happens when you take
shmira, off. Shmira. So they understood it to mean what?
Oh, it's not a bracha.
Can you keep reading?
Okay,
fine. Marava. They understood that that pasuk was a reference to tefillin, that there's some form of shmira. Nope. There's some form of shmira.
Ki da'amar b'Yerushalmi, aval tzitzis.
Aval tzitzis. You take off your tzitzis.
Ki
kamasalik me'olav.
Ki masalik
olav. When you would remove your tzitzis, or your talis.
No
one made a bracha. Even the Marava, they didn't make a bracha to remove the tzitzis. The tefillin nami, Rabbi and Tom said, even tefillin, when the bracha would be made, it was only in a certain case. What was the case?
Dafka kishemisalik samuch.
Kishemisalkan.
Kishemisalkan samuch lishkia sachama.
Only when they would take it off right before shkia. Why? What was so special about taking off the tefillin right before shkia?
Shemachayev usalkan.
Right. Let's say you took it off earlier in the day. You're not going to wear the tefillin the rest of the day. So you took it off earlier in the day. Rabbi Tam said no. Then they wouldn't make the bracha. It was only when it was done in conjunction with what? The chiyuv to remove them. The chiyuv to remove the tefillin. Yes.
So it's not that they're making a bracha after the tefillin. They're making a new bracha.
What do you mean after?
When you take off the tefillin.
Then they would
right?
make the bracha.
But they're not making a bracha because they're taking off the tefillin. They're making a bracha because they're now doing something new. Which is the Shmor at the...
Oh, okay. Good. Very good. Very good. Well, let's see how we can work that in here. Okay. The Kishimisalkan Samach L'Shkiyas HaChama Shemachuy L'Salkan Kedamar B'Komet Rabba, like it says in Menachos. Heiniach Tefillin L'Achash Shkiyas HaChama Over Ba'aseh. If you put on your Tefillin after Shkiya, you're in violation of an Aseh. What's the Aseh? Dechsev.
Vishmarta Es HaChuka.
The Shamer, the Asay, Asay. That's a rule. When you see the lashon of the Shamer in the context of a positive mandate, we know it's an Asay. So this Ushmata Masachuka is construed as being an Asay. So therefore, if one would put on tefillin at night, he would be in violation of an Asay, be over on an Asay.
About tzitzis.
But by tzitzis, afal gav depater b'layla.
Right. Even if you hold the tzitzis, you'll hold layla loves man tzitzis. Even if you hold that way, layla loves man tzitzis. There's no issur in wearing tzitzis at night.
Leika issur.
Right. There's no violation. There's no specific asay of hishamer with regard to tefillin, with regard to tzitzis. And there's no chiyuv to remove them. No chiyuv to take off your tzitzis. Yeah, it's recorded. Okay, let's get back on topic. But anyway, you see from here that even if that there's no isser. No isser guy wearing tzitzis, right? No isser.
No isser to not wear it either, right?
There's no isser, no.
But
even during the day, if a person's not wearing tzitzis, we don't say he's over an isser, we say he's passing up an opportunity to do a mitzvah.
So if you put it on for a period of time and then took it off, is that an issue?
Is it an issue? For the time that you were wearing it, you were fulfilling a mitzvah. The time that you're not wearing it, you're not fulfilling a mitzvah. It's certainly not the, I'll say, the derech of Bnei Torah to try to be mekayim the mitzvah of tzitzis. Let's put it that way.
With the small tzitzis.
So that's also a question now. That's a separate issue, how big the talus has to be in order to be chayav and tzitzis. Derech HaShulchan has a big kula. I think he says if for the purpose of the mitzvah of tzitzis, no matter how big the beged is, it's okay. So, but that's a whole separate question. It's a separate question. Okay, let's get back. There's a whole separate shiur we can discuss tzitzis another time. If you want, I'll be happy to do that if that's of interest. Yes, if you give me advance notice of your, you know, of your, if it works out for you on that day, then I'm being kind because you have company. Lesatef, that's a whole separate question. That's a separate question, whether or not you can make lesatef even on the tallest cotton. I'm not sure if there's a point where you have to make lesatef. Okay, this is tzitzis. We're not in tzitzis now. Are you joking or serious? That's the question. Some say the mesh is not a beged. Some say the mesh is a beged.
Is there any way to mesh the opinions?
Well, let's go weiter. There's no chiyuv to take them off. Could have said lasuye tzitzis, just like it could have said, you know, oh tzitzis, tzitzis the bracha before and the bracha after. Could have said that. Could have. But it could have just said Reichani, because that's open and shut. There's no other issues. There's no other factors. And also, it was an opportunity to tell us the halacha about Reyach. Right? The akol Reichani ain't mevarich acharein. In other words, it's not subject to exceptions. Tosfos is telling you. You want to know why they chose Reichani as opposed to one of these other examples? Because Reichani across the board never has a bracha after it. Some mitzvahs do, some mitzvahs don't. Some foods do, some foods don't. Well, no foods don't, right? That's not fair to say. That's a question of shir. How much did you eat? But the substance always has a bracha after it. That's on, you know, l'maisa. So reichani, that's it. There's no question. There's no details. There's no analysis. There's no. It's not subject to circumstance. Reichani, psika. Okay. We don't pass like the name of Rava. You never saw anyone taking off their tefillin at the end of the day. Well, in America, we don't see people wearing tefillin all day generally. But let's say you were around someone wearing tefillin all day. You would not hear him taking off his tefillin, making this bracha. It also says, because really we hold that Laila is man tefillin. Technically, you can continue wearing your tefillin at night.
Okay.
But that's only if you hold that you can't wear it at night.
I'm saying, let's say you could. If you're taking off the for the purpose of the
then it should be then it should be true anytime. Then it should be
right,
true. Right. That you see, Rabbeinu Tam says those that did it only did it then, only did it when they absolutely had to remove it. Muchach the Lila's man tefillin who the hachi savor Rav Ashi halsam midrash bonon who the author shelo yeshen men. Why do we take it off at night? Not because you can't wear them at night, not because you really can't continue wearing tefillin at night, because rabbinically they said, don't wear tefillin at night, lest you fall asleep in them. But technically, Lila is not in opposite to tefillin. The kra and the pasuk of shamarta, that same pasuk that the Neymar Rava darshaned to teach them that they had to take off the tefillin and make a bracha. What do we say about that? We like it seems to be talking about Pesach, nothing to do with tefillin. Va'afagav the Shabbos loves man tefillin. Now Shabbos is not zman tefillin. So when you're on your way to shul Friday afternoon, you're going to take your tefillin off. You call makom in mevarich aleihem kishim masalkan erev Shabbos in chashecha. If you left your tefillin on until Kabbalah Shabbos and you take them off right before Kabbalah Shabbos, you won't make a bracha. Even according to those that made the bracha when they took it off before nightfall, even according to those, says Rabbi Yonatan, who took the tefillin off before Shkia, if they would take off their tefillin before Shabbos, on Erev Shabbos, they would not make this bracha. Why? They ain't chayiv l'salkan. So there's no chayiv at that point to remove them. The nafkalon mila os al yadecha, yotzu Shabbos as yom tovim, shein gufan os. Those things, Shabbos and Yom Tov, which are themselves an os, don't require the os of tefillin. They don't require the os of tefillin. But it's not usur to wear tefillin at that point. Right? It's not prohibited to wear tefillin at that point. So therefore, when I take off my tefillin Erev Shabbos, it's not akin to taking off my tefillin before Hashecha. All right? So can we try to explain that? Try to explain that for a minute? Yeah. Rabbi Yonatan says that even though we don't wear tefillin on Shabbos or Yom Tov, we don't, when we take them off for the purpose of Shabbos and Yom Tov, we don't make a bracha. Even those in the B'nai Ma'arava would make the bracha immediately prior to removing their tefillin at night, they would not make this bracha on Shabbos and Yom Tov, or in anticipation of Shabbos and Yom Tov when they remove their tefillin. Do we have a Rambam over here? No.
He's in Indian.
Did you have one volume on? Is that one volume?
Yeah,
that's great. Thank you. That's awesome. What'd you say?
What's the text of the bracha?
Lishmar chukav. Asher kshamu sasav tzivana lishmar chukav.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think you'll find it in the Siddur.
What?
I don't think you'll find it in the Siddur.
Isn't it different to say it's like a time when...
I can't hear you. Speak up a little louder.
Isn't it different to say it's just a time when you don't work the tefillin, of saying it's a time that you shouldn't.
Yeah, can you explain to me how it's different? I think it's true. You're right.
Like, it would literally be a negative thing on Shabbos story. Like, you're not, when you have your tefillin at night,
the other way around. Yeah, let me read the halacha. You'll be able to appreciate it a little bit. This is Perek Dal Halacha Yud Aleph. Tuchas Tefillin, Perek Dal Halacha Yud Aleph. Says the Rambam, Mishen Yach Tefillin Kodem Shetashka Chama. You put your tefillin on before Shkia. V'chashecha, and now it became dark. V'hein Olav, and he's still wearing his tefillin. Afilu hayu Olav kol halayla, mutter. You have him on all night. V'hein morin dov as a barabim, but you don't say this in public. So hopefully this is not considered public. El molam den asakol, shul yanichu tefillin, you teach the masses not to put on tefillin at night. El yachzul samishitesh kachama. You don't want to encourage the average person to continue wearing tefillin into night. Why? Because we're afraid. They're not going to be vigilant. They're going to fall asleep and run into other problems. But if you go ahead and you wait till Shkia and then you first put on tefillin, says the Rambam, over Balav. Now you're in violation of a lav. Shenemar v'shamarta sachuka azos lamoada miyamim yamima. He calls it a lav. Tosus calls it an asay. Either way, you're in violation of some biblical mandate. In Halacha Yud, the Rambam says, "Zman hanachas tefillin b'yom lo b'layla," as it says, "Miyamim yimima." Chuka, zohi mitzvah tefillin. V'chein Shabbosos, v'yamim tovim, einan zman tefillin. Shabbos and Yom Tov are not the zman for tefillin. Shabbos and Yom Tov are not the zman for tefillin, as it says, "V'hayu l'chol os, v'shabbosos, v'yamim tovim, hein atzman os." They are already themselves an os. So when he talks about Shabbos and Yom Tov, all he says is what? That Shabbos and Yom Tov are not times when tefillin need be worn. We'll say that Shabbos and Yom Tov has a patur in tefillin. It's not an iser to wear tefillin. There's no mention here of it being usser. Shabbos is an osel. You don't need tefillin. Now it is a little bit interesting. I'll just throw this out there for your consideration. The minig is specifically brought down that during a milo you should wear your tefillin. Why? Because milo's an os and tefillin's an os. So here we say that you have one os, you don't need another os. Over there we say that because there's one os, you should have the other os also. And I'm saying there must be a distinction between
milo on Shabbos.
Then you sure you're not doing your tefillin, right? It's not going to make it any. Not going to make it any worse.
You get a triple os.
That's right. Okay, then the Rambam says in Halacha Yadav, Chayiv Adam Mashmish B'Tzilv Kol Zman Shayu Alav. When a person's wearing his tefillin, he has to constantly be cognizant of them. That's generally why we don't wear tefillin all day today. Shul Yisiyach Daitam En Afil Regacha. A person can't, even for a moment, do something inappropriate while he's wearing his tefillin. Shekedushos En Gedolah Mikedushos Hatzitz. Because tefillin is even more kadosh than Hatzitz. Why? Because Hatzitz has Shem Hashem once, and the tefillin have Shem Hashem many times over. The Eli Yishvan Echad Ve'esrim Shel Shem Shel Yudke Shel Bishel La Rosh Kamosan Bishel La Yad. Funny lashon. Bishel La Rosh Kamosan Bishel La Yad. You know we have that also by Ner Chanukah. It's a whole question what the Rambam's Gersim was. Is it Shel Chanukah? Is it Ner Chanukah? Or is it Shel Li Chanukah? I think in some of the Gersos of the Rambam, they have it as She L'Chanaka, like he has over here. She L'Rosh, or She L'Yad. It's not for now, but I don't know what the Yemenites do. But maybe they say She L'Chanaka.
That's not good.
Huh? I think, this is the Kapak Rambam? Yeah, I think even in the Franco Rambam, he has it in the Shinei Nusos, I think he has it.
Volume 2, Tavos
and Eros. What's that?
Volume 2, Tavos and Eros. Tavos
and Eros?
Is that
Tavos
and Eros?
What are you talking about? I'm sorry.
Here comes
Volume
2.
Okay. What do you guys say? So what's the difference?
What's the bracha?
Lishmor Chukov.
Wait, what's that? Why are you saying that bracha?
Okay. That's what I'm asking you. Obviously, the bracha is a reference to this pasuk.
Yeah.
The pasuk is a call to arms to be careful about the proper maintenance of your tefillin, to maintain the sanctity of your tefillin. Not allowed to put on tefillin when it's not proper. Why? Oh, because that's a violation of showing the proper respect for tefillin. You're not showing the proper care for your tefillin. You're not being shomer the tefillin properly. So I think you're getting at something. What are you getting at? Avi Hirschman, what were you saying before?
That it's a separate...
When you're still in focus?
You're not taking... It's not the bracha coming on the... taking off of the tefillin. It's the bracha you're saying at the beginning of this new...
Why?
Shmirah.
Yeah, why? Oh, so you're doing this... There's a new shmirah now.
Right. There's what's a new the thing. So what's you're saying over lasiyasan on that.
Forget about over lasiyasan.
Okay, fine. But you're saying...
What's the bracha on?
It's saying on the shmirah.
So what Avi wants to say is like this, that the bracha is being said, and that's why Rabbi Tam said you only make the bracha when you take the tefillin off right before shkia. Why? Since there's a halacha now that I must treat my tefillin a certain way, I must be vigilant with regard to my tefillin in a certain way and take them off now because it's not proper to wear them into this zman. So when I take my tefillin off at that time, that's a fulfillment of that mitzvah.
On Shabbos, I could leave them.
That's right.
On Shabbos, I could leave them on the ground.
Leave them on the ground?
As in, I don't have to be vigilant.
No, but that's not a maisa. That's not a maisa. That's not a lach of maisa. I mean, every time you go to the bathroom. That's a good question.
Get a good class.
But I guess you're right. I mean, you could ask why they weren't stocking that bracha every time you had to do something vis-a-vis the tefillin. But I guess that moment during the day when you had to now relate to the tefillin differently. When you had to. Let's say you guys go to the bathroom. So they sort of objectively, they instituted this bracha across the board. So anyone who's wearing tefillin is going to have to make the bracha at that time.
But that doesn't explain why on Friday night you wouldn't want that.
Exactly. Because when you take off your tefillin Friday night, it's not a fulfillment of this mitzvah. It's not a fulfillment. Taking off your tefillin Friday before Hadlakas Neros or before you go to Kabbal Shabbos is not a fulfillment of this idea of being shomer the tefillin. You're taking it off because you don't need an os today. You could wear your tefillin today.
Well, you're
When you take off your tefillin, you're not doing it right before Shkia on Shabbos because of taking it off before nightfall. You're taking it off because you're not wearing them on Shabbos.
Result.
You're right. If you wait till Shkia, then it'll be the same as any other day. It'll be the same as any other day. Right, but the Matthias is that as a person getting ready for Shabbos, he's going to be Makabal Shabbos. He's not wearing his tefillin anymore. No one's saying L'chadodi, right? Even in places where they say it. No one's saying that wearing his tefillin.
There are no effects.
Right, it's before Shkia. Or it's supposed to be before Shkia. So this idea that this is really about the Rav one.
So the bracha is introducing a specific mitzvah, which is that at night you're tefillin beyond. That is literally the mitzvah.
It's the fulfillment of that mitzvah.
So like you have a mitzvah to wear your tefillin, you have a mitzvah to not wear your tefillin at night?
You have a mitzvah to relate to your tefillin in a different way now, right?
But so wouldn't it be ideal that you fulfill that mitzvah on Shabbos? As in, it seems like it'd be more ideal that you could fulfill on to Shkia. As in, by saying L'chadodi, you're now denying yourself from the mitzvah of taking.
No, it's not. It's not. It's not a positive. It's not like a mitzvah that you have to do. It's a mitzvah that you have to do when you have the tefillin.
Right. So you're wearing your tefillin on Friday.
You're saying you're passing up an opportunity to.
L'chadodi, you are denying yourself the opportunity of fulfilling.
I don't know. It's a good question.
For a not specific. I mean, like.
No, it's a mitzvah. It's a, what do you mean, being Kal Shabbos?
Tosefa
Shabbos.
I'll tell you why.
Because Tosefa Shabbos, you have to take Shabbos on early. Yeah, you have to take Shabbos.
You can't wait till it starts.
No. There's a mitzvah you have to add on to Shabbos. The question is how much do you have to add on? So we have built in Bein HaShemashos because of the general Sefer.
Right.
We add on even to Bein HaShemashos. We don't wait till Shkia and accept Shabbos right at Shkia.
Right.
We take a minute before Shkia, at least, yeah? 1 minute before Shkia. So the minute is 18 minutes before Shkia. Technically, that would be enough. Second, I don't know about a second. That's kind of dangerous. It's kind of, you know, like not malach hasharis. You can't really. You want to be in violation of. You know, you want to play with that.
Like there's, you can not do anything during that 1 minute.
No, it's a matter of accepting. You have to accept. Once Shkia comes, that's it. You can't do anything anymore. Right. I mean, you could ask a guy to do stuff for you, but as far as you're concerned, you have to treat it like Shabbos. Before Shkia, you have to be Makabel Shabbos. You have to take on Shabbos.
But didn't you say some people to fill in after it gets dark? Didn't the Rambam say that?
The Rambam said if you did that, you wouldn't be in violation of anything. That would be okay.
But why? So why is it a specific mitzvah to take it off before it starts?
If you're taking it off, he said Rabbi Tam says the Bnei Marava who would take off their tefillin before Shkia because of the rabbinic violation of wearing. You're asking me, would Tosfos agree with the Rambam that you're allowed to wear your tefillin into the night? That's really what you're asking. The Rambam says you can continue wearing tefillin. And the Isser is only when you do what? When you put the tefillin on at night. Would Rabbeinu Tam agree with that? I don't know. I mean, the Rambam seems to feel like it's something of a chiddush because he says, we don't tell people this, we don't want to encourage them to put on tefillin at night. So it's hard to know if Rabbeinu Tam would have agreed with that or not. My guess is still they would. Even if you would, you'd still have this. Why? Because the reason you're taking it off before Shkia is, for whatever reason, somehow...
Is it a mitzvah to take off your tefillin at night? Is that...
That's sort of what he's asking.
So why would you be allowed to wear it longer? Why would you be allowed
it's not
to
that
not
it's a, it's not that it's a mitzvah that you have to do it. What I think we're saying is that when you do it, it's a fulfillment of this idea. When you take your tefillin off because night is coming and you don't want to wear your tefillin at night because...
You're just making a bracha on an idea. It's not a mitzvah.
So why would anyone not do that?
I mean, why would you wear it at night? Because when you're wearing it at night, it's still...
So you don't make
it according to the Rambam, it's still... Right, exactly. It's a different fulfillment. But you're asking a good question. I don't know whether Rabbeinu Tam or the Baal HaTos in general agree with the Rambam's idea that there's no even rabbinic problem wearing it's tefillin tonight. It could be that's the Rambam's, you know, unique ruling.
Are you making a bracha on a
phenomenon
or a mitzvah?
Let me read you the Rav's Lashon, okay? Or not his Lashon, but Rabbi Reichman's presentation of the Rav Shir. He says, Shona hanachas tefillin b'layla mishat mi b'shabbos v'yomtov. If you put on tefillin on Shabbos, it's different than putting on Shabbos on tefillin at night. B'meniach b'layla posek haram sh'over b'lav shel shmira. You're in violation of the law of shmira. If you put tefillin on at night, So you have to, also you have to think about it. There's a, even for the Rambam, there is something about putting on tefillin at night. I could keep wearing my tefillin into night, that's okay. If I put on tefillin at night, that's a violation of this idea of the Shemirah. Aval b'shavs v'yomtiv, when it comes to Shabbos and Yomtiv, the Rambam doesn't mention the love of Shemirah. Doesn't mention anything about a love. What does he mention over there? He says the asay of hayol v'chalaos. Prat l'shavs v'yomtiv, because it's its own os. Doesn't mention anything about a violation. Nira, he says, ki shams v'yomtiv heim zmanei p'tur. Shabbos yipotif from tefillin. Yomtiv yipotif from tefillin. Aval hanochas tefillin b'layla, but if you put tefillin on at night, even according to the Rambam, even according to the Rambam who allows you to wear tefillin at night, putting on tefillin at night, that he says is a bitul of shmiras tefillin. And then you're over on the lav. So it's a good question how to work that detail out. Why is it that according to the Rambam, putting tefillin on at night is a violation of the lav, but not wearing tefillin into the night? Why is that different? That's a separate question. But putting that aside, din ha-shmira chal b'nogei l'layla yesh isser mitam shmira l'haniyach tefillin. When you're taking them off because of night, that's a kima mitzvah. It's not a chiyuv necessarily, because he says you.
So what's the bracha then? The bracha is on the kiyum?
Yeah. Lishmar chukav.
It's kind of funny, like, how do you treat. So, I mean, is the kiyum is ideal. But it's ideal to what?
I guess it's ideal.
Now, you have two conflicting mitzvahs.
It's ideal in a sense.
Shabbos early and it seems like trying to guard the tefillin. But is the bringing in Shabbos early, is that a kiyum also, or is that a straight up mitzvah?
No, that's a mitzvah.
So I guess we're saying that takes
priority. That would take priority. That's what I was trying to tell you before, right?
Okay.
That would take priority. The yesh kiyum mitzvah shmiras l'chaltzon b'avro laila. Mi'idach b'shabbos b'yontif yesh p'tur. Tefillin. Ain't iser shmir laniach tefillin b'shabbos yontif. If I put tefillin on Shabbos or yontif, I'm not in violation of the proper care and maintenance of my tefillin. I'm not violating the proper protocols of shmir.
During the daytime?
Yeah, during the daytime. Obviously, during night, it's just a general night problem. It's not unique to Shabbos. Putting on tefillin Shabbos morning. I didn't do anything wrong. So if I take my tefillin off in anticipation of Shabbos, it's not reflective of this idea of the shmirah. Not reflected by the idea of Shmira. Why? Because Shmira can only come about in light of what? In light of an Isser to do something different. So if it's Asr for me to put it on at night, and now I'm Dafka taking off the tefillin because it's Asr for me to put them on at night, right? That's demonstrative of what? Of the Shmira. So I make the bracha on the Shmira. Again, query as to why the Rambam allows you to keep wearing them, right? As opposed to putting them on at night, what the difference is. That's a separate question. But when you taking them off because it's Shabbos or because it's Yontif, it doesn't reflect the same idea. Because the only reason why you don't wear it on Shabbos or Yontif is because it's an os and you don't need it. But not because there's an Indian of Shmira that's coming into play. Right? The Shmira only emerges when there's an Issa to do it the other way. Well, now I'm avoiding that. I'm specifically avoiding wearing the tefillin when it would be a violation of Shmira.
So why don't you wear them to Friday night davening and then take them off? Then you get both.
Why can't you wear
it? So you don't have to wear them on Shabbos. There's nothing wrong with it. So this way, you brought in Shabbos early and you took them off to guard that. But that seems like that would clearly be the ideal.
Where you till on up to?
To Maariv and after Maariv.
No, Maariv, you can't. You can't.
Shabbos.
What's that?
I'm saying you'll be into Shabbos.
You can't.
Why? And you said it, so it's not required, but if it's not Muksa, then I don't see why you can't wear them.
Oh, you mean do both?
Take them off. That
you mean
way
do
you
both?
You fulfill the kiyum and you fulfill the mitzvah.
I don't know. That wasn't the minhag. That's all I could tell you.
The minhag is against the ideal situation.
I don't know why he's saying the ideal situation.
Because the ideal would be to fulfill the kiyum so you could say the bracha and to bring in Shabbos early. That would be. As in the problem was, how can you bring in Shabbos early if you're going to take off your tefillin and say the bracha? So why can't you take off your tefillin into Shabbos? Especially because the Rambam's holding it, you don't have to take them off if you're already wearing them. You can wear them into the night. Maybe I'm not understanding Kiyum, but isn't
no,
it the
you're
idea
asking, you're asking a good question. You're asking a good question. I'm not sure the answer. You're asking why wasn't. Maybe just practical answer. Maybe part of the things that I had to do get ready for Shabbos necessitated taking off the tefillin.
Are you like bathing?
Yeah.
Because
That just gave me like some like a Bala Bapish answer, but. What? Moksah. Well, if they're wearing it, probably won't be Moksah.
Take it off after
that. Oh, take it off. Right, what are they going to do with it? I say it could have just been practical concerns. Right, if you take it off, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Where are you going to leave it? I'm just saying those are practical answers. I can't give you.
Are you using that so the minhag might reflect it? Just why?
It could be the practical.
If we were still wearing tefillin all day today, we might do that. That was
this year. But we don't do that. Tosfos says we don't do that because we don't pass like the b'nei marava because we really say you can wear tefillin at night.
Oh, fine.
Since we hold that as far as the Torah is concerned, you can wear tefillin at night. Taking off the tefillin before night wouldn't necessarily reflect this idea.
Right.
It's only reflective of this idea if you hold that you can't wear it at night.
Which is Tosfos.
Tosfos, yeah. You want to ask me something? I'm sorry.
Yeah, where's the whole idea? How come I've heard before that tefillin is moksa on Shabbos? Is that just like a...
Yeah, I've heard that multiple times. If you move them, you squeeze your elbow or like...
There's a discussion in the postgame. What's
so
the status of
tefillin? Do it that way. Clearly not.
The question is why, what status they should have. What's that? If it's not usher to wear them, right? If you hold it's not usher to wear them...
There's no use for them.
Right, so that's like anything else. You're not really supposed to move anything. Listen, just very quickly, there are different categories when it comes to muktzah. There's muktzah like a rock. You can't move under any circumstances, only with your foot or, you know, with the elbow, not normal tilt-toe. That's classic muktzah. No designation. Then you have kalim. Kalim depends on what kind of keli is. Is it klishmachtel iser? Is it klishmachtel heter? Even if it's a keli, then there's another category called muktzah machmas kisar and kis. And then you have exceptions to the rules. For example, Kisvei Kodesh is never muksa. Like Sarin scrolls, things that you learn from can never be muksa. Food, under normal circumstances, is never muksa. A person is never muksa. So there are shitos that say different things about tefillin, but the burden is on them to explain why it should be muksa. I mean, if you look in the... I forget what siman is offhand now. Look in Shulchan Aruch. It's addressed. And certainly according to many poskim, if you have a need to move the tefillin because it's occupying space, you can move it. And you can't say it's like real muktzah.
It's not like a lighter.
A lighter?
Yeah. So it's not like matches. Not like
even those, even a hammer you can move. You can say it's worse than a hammer? Now there's a Zohar, I think there's some idea in Kabbalah that Yidavka don't put on tefillin, that it's also to put on tefillin on Shabbos. So if you want to start bringing that in, that it's actually also to wear tefillin on Shabbos, then that creates a whole separate, you know, reaction in Hilchos Muktzah. But as far as the strict halacha goes, it doesn't seem that it's also to wear on Shabbos. Yeah. Until Shabbos starts.
And then it's still on.
Yeah, that's what Chaim's asking. That's what Chaim's asking. I just said
it
could.
Not even you take it off. I mean, keep it on. You just don't take it off. And then it's.
Well, that's.
Can you sleep?
No, you can't sleep.
That's like.
You can't sleep when you're filling. So, whatever.
At some point, you have to take them off.
So, you're going to have to take them off before you go to bed.
All right, so the question is either you don't have a place to deposit them or you don't have a place to.
What's wrong with taking it off? I have to take it off then.
I say it could just be motivated by practicality. You know, I don't really know. We don't have all the details. We don't have all the facts.
So Tosfos says you cannot wear tefillin at night.
Tosfos just explaining. He's just explaining. Rabbeinu Tam is just explaining the minhag of the Bnei Marava. The minhag of Bnei Marava was predicated on the shita that says we don't wear. You can't wear tefillin at night. That light allows man tefillin.
Not just you can't put it on, but that you can't wear it into night.
Right. That it's not the zman of tefillin. Right.
That you shouldn't wear it into night.
It's not the time of the mitzvah. You can't perform the mitzvah at night. You don't wear tefillin at night. He's saying we don't hold that way. We don't paskin that you don't wear tefillin at night. You can wear tefillin at night. You can do the mitzvah. You can get a kiyum maybe at night. But, yeah, but what? We just have a problem rabbinically. Rabbinically we say you can't do it, but not biblically. Biblically it's not that night is removed from the time in which you can do the mitzvah. Okay? I can't feel